You're listening to Heartbeat Radio. I'm your host, Cindy Bright. Heartbeat Radio is a conversation aimed to take the pulse of corporate America. Opportunities for people of color, we're getting lost in the shuffle of change. I'm that provocateur of change. The hearts of corporate America are addressed. Access and opportunities will be accelerated for all people. Through Heartbeat Radio, you will gain a deeper understanding of what is necessary for change.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Heartbeat Radio. I am your host, Cindy Bright, on Heartbeat's final show of the year as we're heading into the holidays here. I am excited to continue conversations that we have been having around the category of education. And I'm excited to bring on, last week you saw that I had on some younger students that were from Rainier Valley Leadership Academy, and we got to hear about what their experiences are. And what they needed and how they were being successful. Tonight, I want to pivot and go more into careers, people who have stepped into careers, successful careers in the technology space where BIPOC people numbers are incredibly low. But we have some amazing work going on here in our community. Let me introduce in the two guests I'm bringing on with me tonight, and I'm going to have them introduce themselves and a little bit about themselves. So let's first welcome in Munya Chiro. Munya, welcome.
Hey, Cindy, thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
See you again, yes.
Yeah.
Let's bring in Alex Latawa.
That is correct. Hi, Cindy.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
How are you?
Pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, you too. Thank you both for coming on with me tonight. Let's just start with a little bit about your guys' self. Tell me a little bit about yourself personally before we dive into all the good stuff. Munya, will you go first?
Yeah, absolutely. So hi, my name is Munya. I am a born and raised Seattleite. I have went to WSU, Washington State University, and I'm a current program manager at Microsoft. I was one of the first people to join the new technologist program, which we will get to in a bit. And I'm just excited to be here.
We won't hold against you that you're a cougar.
Go Cougs. We won the Apple Cup this year, so warms my heart.
Oh, Alex, you, let's introduce yourself.
So hi, everyone. My name's Alex. I was born and raised in Southern California. growing up, went to high school here, families here and everything like that. After high school, I did a gap year program abroad. When I came back, I attended community college here. And then based off my experience there, I ended up transferring to UCLA. During that time, I ended up doing the new technologist program, which led to an internship at Microsoft. And then now I currently work full time for Cyberg Mobile as a consultant engineer.
Let's give a shout out to both Cyberg Mobile and to Microsoft in this partnership that they have been at. I believe it's 8 years now that they have been working together on developing pipelines of BIPOC talent in the technology space. So Cyberg, Alex, you want to talk about them a little bit, about them as a company? I had broadcast that Colby Hatcher is the president, CEO of that business. Black owned. And so let's just talk about Cyberg for a minute here too.
Yeah. First and foremost, the one thing I love to say about Cyberg Mobile is that we're a very people first company. We invest in our employees, we invest in our clients, and most importantly, we're investing in the community and bringing BIPOC people into the tech industry through the new technologist program. On a day-to-day basis, Cyberg Mobile, we do a lot of things such as consulting, but primarily we do DEI consulting in that space for numerous clients such as school districts within the Seattle area.
And the history of Cyberg and Microsoft 365, so not the broader Microsoft, Microsoft 365, I believe is how they structured partnership with Vanessa Filberti, who has actually been on this show, talking to us in the past about what she has done as a leader, actually woman of color leader, trying to advance these issues. And I think the important thing about this is that there are people who are effectively moving this needle in ways that a lot of people, that isn't visible to a lot of people. And I think it's important that we highlight and talk about these organizations, the work that they're doing, and showing the output of by bringing young people like you on to show, there we are, there's a shout out for Cyberg Mobile there, to show what the output is. And I know that their program is not just focused on college age people. They are focused on a large demographic of people, getting them into the tech space. Are you able to speak to that a little bit, Alex?
Yeah, absolutely. So actually in our past cohort of NT participants, it wasn't just freshmen and sophomore students from underrepresented backgrounds, but we also brought in people from coding boot camps, as well as people who we would say are in their middle age and maybe went back to college and decided, you know, hey, I didn't like the job I was doing and I want to get into the tech field. And part of the NT program originally was actually called Young Technologists because it was college-age people. And we realized, well, it's not just those type of people that are looking for a tech career or to pursue their tech journey there, but rather they saw the opportunity that was there as well.
Yeah, and I'll say that different because I'm going to keep trying to keep myself in the middle age category and not say old yet. But I'm just emphasizing that for people who, you know, there's been a lot of career change during COVID and people deciding that they wanted to do things different. And I think it bears mentioning that Cyberg Mobile is looking for the middle age people who are in who are, and will train you. And so I want to get into it's called the TNT program. It stands for the new technologist program. Who wants to talk to us about what the new technologist program is?
Sure. I mean, I can go ahead and start, and Alex, like, you know, feel free to come in at any time.
Absolutely.
So, you know, the new technologist program is a summer academy specifically designed to really give people who are new to the technology industry, whether you are a college student, whether you are looking for a career change, it is a summer academy to really give you on the ground experience in the technology industry outside of just computer science classes, outside of, I guess, hypotheticals. It is usually based in Microsoft specifically. And so basically we would have these courses that you take throughout with, you know, teams, coaches, instructors, and mentors as well. So a full kind of like 360 in terms of the level of engagement you'd have with full-time Microsoft employees. That generally develops people, not just like for, you know, of course, we'd love to have people be at Microsoft specifically, but it's more to, you know, get experience in the industry too and have us understand more of what, you know, we'd want to do. Many people come in thinking that there's only computer science, right? For instance, that they need, which translates to a software engineering job. But there's other jobs within tech too that people are aware of when they join the new technologist program. So our goal after being in the summer academy is you would leave with the correct skills to be prepared for the industry, to be prepared to either get a job or to have a better understanding of what life in tech actually is with firsthand experience.
What's the duration of the program?
Typically, it is 7 weeks. That's like it ranges. It used to be 6 to 7, and then I think actually now it might be more at like 11. Don't quote me on that, but like it's
still happens. 7 weeks.
Still 7 weeks. Perfect. You know, I was one of the first you know, people in like the first cohort to be in the new technologist program, so it was a little less in 7 weeks before, I believe it was 6. So it's good to know that it's still around that area.
And what are the requirements to get into this program?
I can actually speak on that a bit more. So the requirements for the new technologist program is you need to be either a freshman or sophomore, broadly speaking, in college or community college or some software boot camp. Of course, the normal employment requirements, you know, are you legally allowed to work in the U.S. and so on and so forth. But really, we look for people who are team collaborators, can innovate, and have that desire to learn, because one thing that we find is you have people just applying to internships and see it as a leg up, but they're not really there to learn. They just see it as the next stepping stool to coming into the program. So that's why we emphasize those core aspects of collaborative and being a team player for the program.
And is college education required to come in? You say freshman, sophomore. Are you referring to the age bracket, or are you referring to that they actually have to be registered and in college for?
More so registered in college as a freshman or sophomore. So again, if you're going back to college, like community college, to take computer science courses, as long as you're in your first or second year, which pretty much every community college is, or in a four-year university, or as well as if you're in a coding boot camp. We've had a couple of participants come from those tracks that come into the program. And I also want to add that you also need to have at least one intro to the computer science class, so at least you have a rough understanding of what we're saying from the get-go.
So for us middle-aged people, is it the same benchmark that you use to screen who can come into the program? Because people our age will not be in college right now for the most part.
I mean, more or less, as long as you fall into that credit standing bracket. So as I said, we've had some middle-aged people go through coding boot camps, which is in a traditional college program. In general, you just need that. You need to be in some sort of tech journey such as that, and also have the same credit standing that a freshman or sophomore would have going to the program.
Okay. Well, let's pivot a little bit into, thank you for describing that. I just wanted to make sure our audience understands a little bit more in depth. So if they're trying to see themselves in this program, they know what path that they need to be on in order to be able to do that. Let's talk a little bit about the industry as a whole. Let's talk about the tech industry. What are your observations of the tech industry as a whole in terms of, the diversity in technology? What is that looking like? What does that look and feel like now?
Sure. I mean, I could start. So that's a really good question, Cindy. Diversity in tech is something that is really important and something that was really, for me, coming in, impossible to ignore. When I first started as a new technologist, I was just coming out of my freshman year. It was me and five other people. And, we were all this kind of like ragtag bunch and everything, and I'm a black man myself. And, when I started in the new technologist program, I looked around and saw all the full-time employees, and really I could not really see any other person who looked like me. I couldn't see, it was rare to see someone who was black, even like Latino. It was a lot of white people, and specifically a lot of white men too. The number of women was really low as well. And so that creates a few problems, right? And generally speaking, once you get the same amount of people, right, who you're making a product that is really supposed to be used by everyone, you're going to get a very specific perspective and a specific use case, right? If you're making a product that's just for, which is made by just one group of people, white men, for instance, right? But it's really used by everyone who have different contexts. There's 90% of use cases that you'd actually, miss out on, and you get the same ideas each time, right? And so it's important to have diversity because that allows to, give you actual, new ideas that come in from different perspectives that otherwise wouldn't be there. It's still an ongoing struggle in the industry, generally speaking. The industry has made some strides, but it's still just like based on numbers, it's still not great. And the TNT program is a program that looks to, address those issues. And one of the big things is recruiting. The industry generally recruits in very specific categories, they'll usually go to elite universities, right? You'll see them at Stanford, Harvard, Columbia, Yale. That, in general, scopes out a large portion of very talented people. And so TNT is looking to actually recruit a more non-traditional backgrounds. For instance, you know, I was not a computer science major. I was a business major. So I double majored in finance and management information systems at WSU. So those three things right there, recruiting for an engineering role, Microsoft doesn't really, just the industry in general, it's not really even specific to, you know, my employer now. The industry in general does not really recruit heavily at my university for the role that I'm currently in engineering. And certainly they would look more towards the computer science section than like the business degrees. So the TNT program acknowledges that having that one track focus of only recruiting at more elite universities, that would just generate a specific, outcome where there's all this other untapped talent at community colleges, at state schools, even at coding boot camps, right? Specifically looking for underrepresented, minorities to come in and, share their talent because it is very unique and it's very strong too. And so we want that to really shine.
And kind of just to touch on that a bit more from my personal experience, just in the industry in general, you know, a lot of progress has been made, but we definitely need to make a lot more to address the gaps in DEI that exists across the whole entire spectrum. And when I actually got accepted into the TNT program when I was in community college, I hadn't even transferred yet, or I haven't been accepted anywhere yet. And if you go to a community college, no one's going out there. No one's recruiting. People just say, you just need a heartbeat, you know, to get into a community college. So why would we care about recruiting there? And the minute I transferred to UCLA, you saw every single recruiter from every single company go to the school, setting up booths, having job fairs, like dropping their direct lines or emails. So part of the TNT program, as Munya was saying, is bringing in people from beyond where the industry generally targets and bringing them up into the sector by the time that they do graduate from their respective schools or from boot camps.
Yeah, it's a great point about the community colleges. I hear that a lot too in my consulting part of my work. It's a very narrow perspective about how to even identify talent. I often don't see them going even into historically Black colleges and universities where the pool is significantly greater on talent and tech talent also. And so the relationship piece or the recruiting piece that you're talking about suffers. I can go on a whole tangent about my 30 years of being in HR and watching the narrow-mindedness on recruiting and how people can't connect a dot. In fact, I commented earlier today on, it was a ridiculous post, but it had like tens of thousands of comments, and it was a recruiter who was taking a poll on LinkedIn. I don't know if you saw it. And they were asking the question about whether they thought people should have to put their addresses on resumes. And so a whole bunch of people, including me, who hardly ever comments on some of this stuff, highlighted the fact that that is another, it's the narrow-minded bias perspective, and that they're not even considering. And I said, particularly here in Seattle, we have all these major companies here and you can't afford housing here. And the BIPOC people are the ones who are typically paid the 60 cents to the dollar. So they're having to commute in. And so how dare you say, people who live an hour away are not capable of coming to work. And so I'm just making a point about, you know, particularly for organizations who are listening to this show, that gatekeeper function of recruiters who, you know, there's some great ones out there, but there are clearly people who can't see past their nose and believe they understand, and they have no relationships in BIPOC community at all. They belong to no organizations where they have access and exposure to where Cyborg Mobile exists. You know, part of why I'm always happy to highlight businesses like this on my show, because people just don't, anyhow, I started to go down my patch of preaching. I've been preaching for the last couple of days.
No, go on. We need more people
to
preach.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Are you ever asked how, like at Microsoft, are you asked how can Microsoft do better? Do they solicit your input in terms of how, because of this issue that you have, and you talked about it as a recruiting issue, but there's also a retention issue too for the people that they get in there. So are you questioned or asked for your insights about how they can do better to hold on to the talent that's coming in?
Yeah, I'd say within my org, generally I am. The nice thing about, you know, where I work is that we have we have identity groups. So we do have Blacks at Microsoft, for instance, which creates a community of other Black people who do work at Microsoft as well. And with that, people like Vanessa and other VPs will come in and actually have open dialogue with us. And that gives us, that I think opens like a nice line of communication where we are asked for our, you know, perspective there and what we can do to, you know, do actually improve. I think that whether, I think it's like good that we have that, right? And whether like some stuff gets implemented, some stuff doesn't, you know, that because of a lot of, you know, structure, right? And, you know, they'll just take our information and do with that what they believe is, you know, best. We're not obviously the final decision makers in that, but yeah, I have gotten asked before about how we do. And you make a really good point, Cindy. Retention is important, right? Because if you just have, let's say, 10 diverse hires and 9 leave within the first 3 months, is that really a win, right? Like you can put that on a billboard saying, oh, wow, we have like, you know, such a big percentage increase in hires, but it's about retention if you stay. And that's like really the hard part to, I think, for the industry to really nail right now is, how do we actually create a culture and a work environment that is inclusive, that is actually beneficial, that does not systematically marginalize, you know, new BIPOC coming in? Because that ultimately requires a mindset shift as well as like deliberate action. It doesn't just happen just passively, right? So, yes, in my experience, I'm like happy to see that I am being asked.
And you graduated 8 years ago?
No, I graduated in 2018. So that would be, wow, almost like 3.5 years ago now.
One of the questions I was going to ask, and so I can't ask it from I was going to ask it specifically for the technologists that are coming out of Cyborg, but from your, as we're talking about retention and people departing, that's all the whole other level of which the questions come in is, are people like you moving up the ranks in these organizations to a place where, I'm going to talk about my book for a minute, but I actually talk about this in my book about how where wealth is actually built in corporate America is where equity is starting to be given to people. And so not just on a salary job, but are we seeing those of you who are coming in and giving advice or being asked for your feedback to improve, are they advancing in the organization also? And do you see any leaders that look like you inside of the business?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that it's hard for me to like say for one specific person or if they are actually like, you know, moving up and if so, at what pace, right? I think those are a lot of different data points. One thing that I've seen within my org specifically, because at large companies, right? Like there's a lot of, especially in like large tech industry, there's a lot of different orgs that function semi-differently around the same held company culture and beliefs. But generally the orgs within this company, you know, can vary, right? And that goes for the whole tech industry. So I'm just going to speak on, you know, what I see in my org, which is like pretty exceptional. And I think it's no surprise that my org hosts the TNT program as well. So I think we do a lot better job than average. But, you know, there have been, you know, Black engineers who have recently gotten promoted to partner. But like partner is a very, is a role in our company that really it's hard to get to, and it's a very serious position. And so I think there's not many in the industry in general who make it to partner who are BIPOC, specifically who are Black as well. That's just in the industry in general I've seen. So it was pretty significant for me to see someone move up. But frankly, that's just like one example from a pool. Like you can, anyone could go on industry like, you know, senior leadership team and, you know, see for yourself. It still is a pretty homogenous in a way, because that it does take time to change, especially internally for that to happen. So, you know, I do definitely see movement, especially from my experience in the industry from when I first joined to where we are now. But we do still have a long way to go, especially if you're articulating the equity, you know, side of it. You know, that's something that is a constant struggle that hasn't necessarily reached its final form yet.
Yeah, I do. We're going to go to commercial here in just a second, but I do. The reason I bring that up is because I believe it to be important, if not one of the most important pieces to this conversation around racial equity, that every organization is publicly saying that they stand for. And so to have racial equity inside of business, in the tech field, in, you know, these different fields, and it requires different thinking, and it requires bolder thinking. Yep. And to come to, I guess to say it different, just hiring people in a job, but not helping them to the whole person and be able to start building their wealth too, like white people do inside of these corporations, and how quickly they advance. So your point about the rate of advancement is a whole nother question that I know you can't answer, but let's just take a quick, we've got to do a quick station identification, and I'm going to pick back up because I want to keep going on this particular piece. We'll be right back.
Sounds great.
Sacks, our favorite Black businesses. Assuming I'm rooting for everybody that's Black. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Assuming I'm rooting for everybody that's Black. Yo, yo, yo.
Here with the Rainier Avenue Radio Traffic Update. You can listen to us in your car 24/7 anytime by downloading the free TuneIn app. Once you do, search Rainier Avenue Radio. And remember, do not curse out your fellow drivers. This has been your Rainier Avenue Radio Traffic Update.
This is Tyrone with God Is and the Inspiration of Gospel Music, also on RainierAvenueRadio.org. We give out free food each and every Saturday from 11 to 2. And so we want you to come on out and support us. We love on your community. And we also have a fish fry once a month. We want to raise funds, put back into the community. And so come on, support us. We need your love. And also, if you want to be connected with us, go to RainierAvenueRadio.org, and to the website, Facebook, Instagram, and God Is. And as God Is got a website, we need your help, community. So come on out and get your free food each and every Saturday it is. And so we asking for donation, whatever you feel to give, give from your heart to the mind. And as we're doing it right here for you, go to our website and touch love and give back. So come on by 1823rd Avenue, RainierAvenueRadio.world, your community radio station and inspiration of all the things we do in your community.
The Beat of the Fox with Nastiness is back on K-Fox Nightbeat.
Yo, what's the deal? It's the legendary Hall of Fame DJ Mix Master Ice from UTFO.
What's up? Who you thought this is? This is Sir Mix-a-Lot.
And this is Terry Lewis.
And I'm Grand Mixer GMS.
What's up, y'all? This is DJ Third Degree.
This is JJ Hudson from the High Chilton family.
Sunday nights from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. It's K-Fox Nightbeat with DJ Nastiness.
Bringing back the memories.
Bringing back the memories.
Bringing Seattle's hottest music.
Bringing Seattle's hottest music. Rainier Avenue Radio.world.
Noise. Peace.
Africans kidnapped and brought to the shores of what is now Brazil, never surrendered their love, faith, or culture. From generation to generation, the connection of Brazil to the motherland has continued. Join Dance with Dora and special guests for Brazilian Connection 2021, a music and dance experience exploring themes of love, transformation, culture, and connection through Afro-Brazilian dance and its cousins. Live at Langston Hughes Performing Arts Institute, Saturday, December 18th at 7 p.m. Light Brazilian refreshments to follow the show. Tickets on Eventbrite.
Would you like to see when your favorite Rainer Avenue Radio show comes on? Check out our show schedule, updated weekly at RainerAvenueRadio.world.
That up in Saks, our favorite black businesses. Sumi, I'm rooting for everybody that's black. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Sumi, I'm rooting for everybody that's black. Yo. Yo, yo.
Welcome back to Heartbeat Radio. I'm your host, Cindy Bright. We are having a conversation with the New Technologist Program graduates. That's in partnership from Cyberg Mobile and Microsoft 365. Let's bring back in Alex and Munya. We were talking right before the break. I wanted to pick back up on, there we are with Cyborg.
I love that website, by the way.
There's actually, we should tell our audience, there's actually a video on the website that you can watch about the TNT program that is pretty awesome that, you know, I just found you can just see the energy and what is going on there and what is being created. And look at the leadership. Look at the people that are we're scrolling through, right? So diverse businesses that are going to produce diverse people. And so this whole notion of leadership is what you were getting at and what I was asking about, Munya, about, you know, are you asking for help and are they responding? And, you know, we've had Vanessa Filberti. She is the commercial vice president for Microsoft 365. That is her in the middle there with the pink on. Do we want to show that really quick? Do we? It's about 3 minutes. Let's show that really quick to our audience.
Go ahead.
TNT is binding our voice.
Super inspiring.
Motivational.
Extremely eye-opening.
TNT is growth to the moon.
TNT is an innovation academy.
It's being immersed in the world of tech.
We're getting a lot of development training and learning some new computer languages.
You get to explore both the software development side and also program management, which is something we're not taught at all at school.
The coaches and TAs are engineers, they're designers, PMs.
They basically take the six weeks off from work, they teach the curriculum, that teaches us full product development cycle to the students.
It was definitely really powerful getting our feedback, being able to talk to people who are so passionate about what they love.
What we care about ultimately in TNT is not the skills that you come to the table with, but more the growth that you're going to have over time.
When I first got here, I didn't know a lick of application code, MVP, MVC, Swift, nothing. Then my PM coaches and my dev trainers taught me how to create an app from the ground up.
The coaches are like some of the best teachers I think I've ever seen. Back at school, you only work individually within this program. We got to work in groups. So I thought that was super cool to get to experience that. In the real world, you're going to have to do that.
With the use of reality, we're helping teachers teach their students and reinforce those lessons through a quiz.
You think about our mission to empower every person on the planet to achieve more. So we need all ideas.
Diversity varies from different universities, age ranges, gender. We really pride ourselves on that, and that's where we see the best ideas come to light.
We've given you the skills, the tools, the confidence, your family, your tribe.
But now the path is in your hands.
Go get an A. Lead the pack. Go kick ass and take names.
That was awesome. We were all double hearing it. So if our audience got to hear the double speak on it, I think you got the gist of what that program is about. So pretty awesome work they're doing.
Funny thing about that video, that's the cohort I was in when we shot that video.
That was a good cohort.
It was great. Best one there is.
I saw Munya. I didn't catch you in it, Alex, but I saw it when Munya was speaking.
Oh, I was probably standing in a corner somewhere, you know?
I was presenting your app.
Here you are. Let's just talk. I do want to hear a little bit more about like what some of the obstacles you have personally faced and how can you coach people or give advice about overcoming the type of obstacles you've had to overcome. Do you have anything more to talk about in that space, either of you?
Yeah, I would say in terms of just overcoming challenges is just never stop persevering. Like me personally, I've had people say no to my face a lot of times, you know, in terms of race or religious issues. I've had people say very nasty things to me. I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to carry on. They're going to be like that for the rest of their lives. And I'm just going to achieve great things and make sure that doesn't happen to anyone else. So to those out there who really are doubting themselves, I just want to say that you need to just keep on persevering so that way you can overcome any challenge that you come across.
Lunya, do you have some thoughts about obstacles that you have faced?
Yeah, definitely. Like I really like what you said, Alex, and I do resonate with that a lot. I would say for me, and just like actually going on and off of what you said, Alex, you know, within the industry, and especially, you know, like my time in the industry, there have absolutely been moments where I at least had, you know, raised eyebrows, to say the least, or, you know, straight up just not really great things or experiences. And it was like very, very hard for me when I looked in the mirror. I had to really think like, okay, is this something that is just constantly coming at me, or am I letting one person, you know, like ruin, you know, my day? And I realized that big picture is that there will always be haters, no matter what industry, no matter where you are. Like you'll run into people who just aren't it, right? And so I think it's important to keep your eye on the prize, but also understand when, you know, you can rise above that, both, you know, personally, and also just like, you know, finding all of your network who actually is there for you. And that's why I think it's so important to build a base, because for me, especially coming in, another big thing that was hard for me was that when I first came into the industry, I was the youngest person on my team, way younger than a lot of other people. A lot of people had like decades even of experience, not even just in the industry, but in the same organization. So they were experts. I'm talking like experts. It was so intimidating to the point where I was just like, I can't mess up. I can't do anything. I can't even like, sometimes I felt pressure that I couldn't even like to myself, right? That I couldn't ask a question because that it would sound stupid to these geniuses, right? But one thing that I really did learn is that asking questions and developing relationships is so important, and it actually makes you look smart no matter how simplistic the question is. And I think that that's the difference between having a fixed mindset at a company and a growth mindset. Mm-hmm. And the industry is really looking towards that growth mindset where you can actually have a learning culture, mm-hmm. a culture that isn't of fear, but is of actual growth, no matter where you are, no matter how young or old you are, and no matter, you know, where you are in your career, whether you're just starting out or if you are an expert. Experts are expected in growth mindset cultures to give that, you know, knowledge unconditionally to younger people and not gatekeep it or hold it over mm-hmm. their head. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's what really kind of released a lot of pressure out of me. Is something that I had to learn and struggle with at first, but once you're kind of in an inclusive environment, that allows you to grow instead of makes you feel combative and makes you feel like, oh, I have to be a genius or a subject matter expert, or at least appear that way, so I can't mess up at all. That leads to a lot of problems internally, right? Because if you can't fail, then how do you grow? If you can't learn, then how do you grow? It just doesn't happen, right? And ultimately, the output of what your team produces is a lot worse. in my opinion. So,
and so to that, that's really important. To that point, what support systems are in place for you, for the, both of you?
So for me personally, and this kind of ties back with the TNT program, is because we've been a part of the TNT program, we already know we have an automatic support network where if something goes wrong or we're really just down bad and just need love and support, then we can always turn to people within the TNT program to uplift us and kind of just get us back on our feet. For example, when COVID hit, I was doing a bunch of interviews for tech jobs, and unfortunately none of them panned out because they said, oh, interview canceled, COVID hit. And I applied to more places and they're like, sorry, not accepting applications. And next thing you know, I reach out to people I know at Cyborg Mobile, like, hey, like I've done this, this, and this. If you know if there's any opportunities around, it would be really helpful to get me back on my feet. And next thing you know, I do an interview with Cyborg Mobile and they bring me on full time, you know, during the height of COVID, which I think is just really amazing. And that's what we aim to aspire for people within the program as well.
That is very awesome. And, you know, the whole way that you were describing growth and learning cultures, coaching for, these are my words now, coaching for success, like putting people, lifting people and helping them to navigate their way, is a shift from my era of being internal, of corporations, which were, you know, looking backwards and in a more critical perspective about people and finding fault. And so, which I think has driven a lot of people away from,
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Being treated that way. Let's talk about how you feel now. You are graduates, you are early career still, or early career. What are your thoughts about giving back now that you are on your feet, more or less, right? You are stable. You're in a phenomenal company, business. You have a strong support system behind you. How do you give back to the community? How do you do that? Or will you do that? Maybe that's the right
thing. So it's funny you mentioned that. Over the summer, I was actually an instructor for the TNT program. So already, you know, this early on, I'm already sharing my knowledge and experience and giving my time for the program. Now that I do make a little bit of money from software development, I, you know, donate every so often to organizations within the community. Since I live in LA, homelessness and transportation are two very big issues and things that are near and dear to my heart. So, you know, I'll toss some money that way when I can do that. Other ways, at least at Cyborg Mobile, we thought about is paid volunteer time. So that way, if I want to volunteer somewhere, it's not a choice between do I need to work and, you know, put food on the table or, you know, make my community better, but rather I can volunteer and, you know, put food on the table at the same time. So that way we're fulfilling many needs within the community as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I someone when I was in college early on and I was going to some symposiums and panels, I remember someone in the industry told me that really stuck with me and I still believe to be true today is that no one gets anywhere alone, no matter what. And that is a big myth that you'll hear a lot. It's like, oh, I worked hard and I did it myself. And, you know, I got there. That I'm just going to tell you right now that that's just not true, right? Like there's a lot of hard work to get there, sure. But there's always someone who helps you out along the way. And I think it's like really, really important to give that back because, you know, I'm in the position where I am today because of a lot of people helping me out, developing and taking a chance on me to get there. And so the least I can do is to give that back just even within the industry. So I've been, you know, a mentor for TNT specifically, you know, mentoring like students and really just kind of having a safe space where it's not necessarily just about the classwork, but it's about my journey and how they can, you know, elevate themselves, asking those taboo questions that are like really hard to maybe ask in you know, just a general setting, right? Maybe for their coach or their, you know, instructor, right? Because it's a different relationship. So developing professional development specifically, and like the motto and mantra, I guess I'd use would be lifting as you climb. So mm-hmm. as I'm climbing, like it's lifting others as well, because it's never just about your own journey. It's about the legacy you can leave for others too. And so that's just really important to me.
I appreciate hearing that. And I, you know, I guess maybe an ask I would ask of you guys before we end the show tonight is when you're reaching back, reach outside of the walls of Microsoft, because the bigger companies are very difficult. I hear it all the time. That people are not able to penetrate and get in and talk to the right people, that there are gatekeepers and people who are not allowing them into your world. And so it's intentional work to make sure that you go outside of the walls of which you operate. You know, for many years, I had my head down working, you know, and we can fall into that lane really quick because demands of work require us to work. I'm still working a lot of hours a week. But there's a fine line between where you kind of go and how you start to tap people, think that there aren't even these possibilities. So I wanted to do this show because there are possibilities and the people need to know that there are actual faces who are have penetrated and have started to move up these chains. And we have businesses that are supporting and training and preparing people for this future. And I, you know, I hadn't heard of Cyborg Mobile before this. So that was interesting all in itself. Not that I know everything, but, you know, I just hadn't heard of them. I'd heard of some of the other companies. So I'm happy to give airtime shout out to the work that they're doing. You know, what for yourself, where do you see yourself then? What's your dreams about your own life? How do you, you know, where do you see yourself in 5 years or 10 years? What do you want to do with this?
Well, personally, I see myself drinking Mai Tais on a beach, but no, but honestly, it's trying to build on using my values and working towards implementing them, and especially in terms of diversity, equity, inclusion. Whether it means continually working at Cyber Mobile or becoming an entrepreneur, actually have some side hustle ideas. So if I was to be a co-founder of a company, then using the values and instilling them into my own company and just spreading that around, because, you know, Cyber Mobile does great work, but it's just one company and just one firm. You know, we need a lot more companies and we need a lot more organizations and really people embodying these ideas and values from the core, rather than kind of just like shifting them in whatever nook and cranny, you know, is in the current companies that we have today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, I'd say that I feel the same way, Alex. I'm kind of maybe in Monaco doing my thing, you know, going back to, going back to Tulum or Cabo, who knows. Right. But yeah, I mean, generally, I think that there's a lot of different paths that we can take. It's I think important, especially to realize, especially like early on in our career, but that we can make a pretty big impact, right? And the work that we do is genuinely, you know, valuable, and not just to one specific company or context, but to a whole swath of things. Whether that's even, you know, volunteering on the side and providing, you know, so technical support, or, you know, building up, you know, like technological infrastructure for volunteer work that you're doing for the community, right? For community organizing. I think that that is really important to give back to your community, right? As much as we're saying, you know, develop internally and to bring others in, it's about also still being connected externally as well. And because there's a lot of things that we can do for our community, whether that's because there's frankly like a lot of different issues, whether it's with specifically in Seattle, there's a lot of homelessness and there's a lot of, you know, housing is short, as you've said, Cindy, you know, public health crisis, especially during COVID. There's a lot of actions that we as people can decide to take there. And so definitely like using, you know, my skills for that purpose, I think is, you know, important. As far as like professional and career wise, you could see it really be still within like the same industries, but there's like, you know, as you said, looking outside of the walls, there's a lot of different opportunities, right? Like I think the experience at a very large company in the industry will be different from a startup in the industry. In between, at a, what we call like a mid-size or mid-cap company, would maybe have a different position, right, in the market, where instead of working at working for a product that is at a huge scale, maybe it's growing really fast instead, right? And that would give a new experience overall. And so I think, like, especially as young people, I think it's important that, you know, the world is really kind of our oyster when it comes to what we'd want to experience. And I'd say that generally, I think giving a holistic experience that aligns, I think, with what we'd want to have impact on, because the impact we create is really valuable and important. So, yes. You know, the actual output, I think, is, you know, something that we gotta take into account too, right? And so definitely something that does have positive impact on the community and does ultimately seek to at least make the world a better place to a degree, to as much as that permits within the job market.
I think an important add to or emphasizing of what you just said, Munye, is that, and I'm saying this because I know your leadership is listening to this too. And so, you know, the couple things I would say as the middle-aged person is that, you know, the rate when you are bringing in talent and you're working with people, particularly BIPOC communities, who we have a natural affinity to our communities anyhow. I think many of us come from, you know, different paths that community is a part of who we are. And so the giving back part is significant. And the rate at which we take the talent of people that we're investing in, so as a corporation, the rate of pace of which you advance people and help them to achieve I'm going to call it access and opportunities. When you hear my coming on, when people get into spaces of where their lives start to change because they have access to a world that has historically been kept from BIPOC people. If the rate of their ability to accelerate becomes so drawn out, I have a son, y'all's age, at least your age, Munya, I don't know how old you are, Alex. And, you know, they're not going to stay in for 10 years before they get to a place of where power starts to shift, because power shifts. Having power is what's going to create the access for the other BIPOC people to be able to come through. Vanessa and Kobe are doing brilliant work, make no mistake. She is one person of how many executive leaders trying to move this mountain. And this, just from being inside, I know that's not an easy thing, feat that she's been tackling. Alex, did you have something you wanted to ask also about applying for this TNT program, how to help our audience know how to do that?
Yes, if you're actually interested or you know someone who might benefit from the program, you can head to newtechnologist.com. Our applications do open on January 10th. And as well, if you know anyone who is in college or recently graduated from college and is part of an underrepresented background, the Envision Accelerator, which is a program I just completed. They do amazing work in helping people from very diverse backgrounds get their startups on the ground. Their applications are currently open and deadline is January 10th as well. So I encourage everyone to apply for the TNT program and hopefully I can see you this summer.
Even as older people, I don't have interest in tech. I can barely do my cell phone these days and keeping up with those sorts of things. Are there anything, you know, we just got a couple of minutes left, Munya, that you want to say to our younger people or, you know, about Microsoft or anything, a plug you want to make about your business or?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, I think there's a lot, especially if you're looking to get into an industry, there's a lot of things, especially if you just take a quick look on Google, quick look on Bing, wherever you search, is that there's a lot of reasons to say, oh no, this isn't for me, right? There's a lot of things to say, oh, the probability is small. You know, these people online on the comment sections are saying it's like, you know, I need to have this credential or that, or need to know such and such. There's a lot of people and things to tell you no. And I will say, you know, just blow past that and, you know, be true to yourself and trust in yourself that you can, you know, make it. And TNT is one of the many programs that are around that are here to at least allow you to meet that potential and make that hill a little bit, you know, not as steep to climb. And so, I just really want to say, just like do believe in yourself. As corny as that might sound, I think it is really important to keep in mind.
Thank you for that. I do want to take this another moment and acknowledge the leadership in our community that are doing this. Vanessa Filiberti, thank you so much for leading this effort inside of Microsoft and slaying walls down for people, because I know that's what you're doing. So thank you for being that woman who goes out in front and makes sure that other people's lives change.
Yeah.
Right. And
yeah. Oh, no. Literally, I think Vanessa is a great example of someone who really just like did believe in herself, right? And made this program happen out of really nothing. I mean, it really just took Vanessa to greenlight it and elevate it to the point where it now became a big force. Remember, when I started, it was just like me and five other people. Now that cohort is a lot bigger, right? And that all started from Vanessa taking that risk and putting her, you know, neck on the line to make that happen. And being brave, I think, is just like super important there.
And to Kobe Hatcher, who started Cyborg Mobile and had the vision of taking people of color and helping to move them. And I am a business owner, and it is not easy to build, start, scale. All of that is incredibly difficult. So Kobe and Vanessa, thank you for your teams, too, that are out here in the work. Jane Lindley, there's a whole group of force people behind us that are making this happen. To our audience, or Munya and Alex, thank you both for coming on to the show tonight and sharing your journey, what you're doing. I so appreciate you pushing this out into the world. To our audience, I hope you learned something tonight that you got to enjoy. You see these folks here that are knocking down some spaces for other people as well. So thank everybody for joining Heartbeat Radio this evening. I'm going to say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you, because I'm not going to be on air for the next couple weeks in preparation of launching some new stuff in January. So thank you all for joining tonight. Munya, Alex, thank you guys for being on with me this evening.
Thanks, Cindy.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
That at the Sacks, our favorite black businesses. Sue me, I'm rooting for everybody that's black. Yeah. Sue me, I'm rooting for everybody that's black. Yo.